Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. We invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. That basic gospel is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive. That is the most incredible statement that has ever been made. Why? Because it's true, but because of the profound implications that it means to you and me. The fact that he is alive means that we can live eternally. The fact that he's alive means our sins have been forgiven. The fact that he's alive means that we have a new identity in Christ. It's incredible good news, and it just keeps better and better and better, getting better as you really see what Jesus Christ has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, obviously, there's an enemy, and the enemy doesn't want us to know all this good news. So he does everything in his power to keep that good news from our ears. If he can't keep it from our ears, he tries to pervert it in such a way where we don't actually get the real message. Or if we do get the real message, he has other means at his disposal to try to get us off of that truth. And so last week we talked about the fact that one of Satan's strategies is that he tries to get us to stop at the cross, that the gospel message is simply Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we can enter heaven someday. But the gospel is much more than that. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And it's in this resurrection that we have new life. And that's what Satan wants to keep from us, sure, this new life that is available to us in Christ. But along with that new life is a new identity. All who receive Jesus, as John wrote, he gave the right to become children of God. So we go from sinner, that's what our old identity was, to saint. And boy, what a transformation that is. And the writers of the New Testament just talk about that. For example, in Romans, Paul wrote this: to all who in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. That's our new identity. He says that to the Corinthians as well. He says this to the church of God that is in Corinth: to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So Satan attacks that new identity that we have in Jesus. He doesn't want us to know that we are children of God. He doesn't want us to know what that means. So he tries to get us to adopt other labels. So we call ourselves Calvinist, or we call ourselves Arminians, or we call ourselves by our denomination, or we call ourselves just whatever it might be, and we take pride in those things. And when we do, we miss the fact that we've been called something by God, and that is a child of God, a saint by calling. The other thing he does, that Satan does, is to try to get us back to our old identity, which was sinner. So you hear lots of Christians going around saying, oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, that's who you were, but you were saved by grace, and because you were saved by grace, you have a new identity. So you should be going around saying, I'm a child of God. I was saved by grace, and in that grace, I've been given a new name. That's what we should be saying, but we don't say that. Why? Because Satan attacks our identity. He tries to get us to latch on to any other label besides that one that God has given us, called child of God.
That's a pretty good label right there.
It's the best label. There's no better label to have.
Absolutely.
Than that.
You bet. Well, that's Basic Gospel, friends. You found Basic Gospel on your radio dial. We're glad that you did. Hope you'll come in and be a part of the conversation at 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, a toll-free call wherever you hear these broadcasts right now, 800-677-9377. Time on the clock. If you have a Bible question, if you have some life issue you're facing right now, like to discuss it, we'd like to discuss it with you. Again, that toll-free number, 800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Staten Island and talk with Vincent listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have a question about backsliding. It's a subject that's constantly being debated among Christian friends of mine and even pastors. So my question for you guys is backsliding under the grace?
Well, backsliding, I think the only time the phrase is ever really used is in the Old Testament. You don't see it in the New Testament. What you see the New Testament writers talking about is, you know, here you've gotten this new identity. You've been transferred out of darkness and placed into light. You've been transferred out of the world and placed into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And so the writers throw out questions. Why would you ever want to go back to that old way of life? You've been set free from sin and death. Why would you ever want to go back to that? That brought you misery. That brought you pain. That brought you emptiness. Now you have total fulfillment, total completeness in Christ. Why would you want to go back? And when it's put in that light, it's like, well, yeah, why would I? I've got all of this good stuff in Jesus. Why would I want to go back to what the world has to offer? And the
reason, because my pastor just gave like a whole sermon about it, and me and a friend of mine that I work with, we were just talking about how it doesn't seem like it's under the grace, because once Christ and the Holy Spirit is working in you, then he won't let you, you know, drift away. And then my pastor was talking about, you know, how it's to draw away from God, to spiritually regress and to turn back into your old ways of living rather than the new ways of living. And then he mentioned the context in the book of Luke about how it means to backslide, to spiritually regress away from the Lord.
Well, Vincent, we have these minds of ours, and these minds of ours, they haven't been totally renewed. And so in our thinking, we can go back to our old way. But in our spirits, we've been made new. Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us through his Spirit, and it's his Spirit's job to renew these minds of ours. And so when we start thinking kind of the old way that we used to think, God's Spirit is there, and God's Spirit starts to renew our minds and to say, hey, that's what you were like as an old creature, but now that you're a new creature in Christ, let's change our thinking. And so he starts by kind of just going through all that he's done for us. I've forgiven your sins. I have raised you to life, raised you to walk in the newness of life. I've given you a new identity. And so he just keeps going over those basic foundational truths to bring you to that point and says, oh, yes, now my mind is starting to align itself with all that you've done, and I'm ready to walk in this newness of life.
You cannot, once you're in Christ, you cannot backslide.
Well, you can't be lost again. Once you're saved, you're saved. And God's work through his Spirit will keep moving you down that path that you need to be moving down. Sometimes, as Richard always says, we get off in the weeds. Well, Jesus goes right there with us. He's alive, living inside of us. And he starts renewing our minds. He doesn't condemn us because we're out in the weeds. He just says, look where you are. You're in the weeds. Not much fun out there. Let's get over here where it's fun, where it's adventuresome, where we can experience true life together. And so he picks you up, dusts you off, and gets you moving right back down the path you need to be moving down.
You know, it's a sad thing today because these pastors aren't preaching the right stuff. You know, when I listen to you guys, and, you know, I love you guys, I learn a lot, and you guys really understand what it means to be under the grace, and then you go to another church, and they're preaching something totally different. So it's like, how can you grow in the Lord when you're hearing so many different messages coming from so many different directions?
Well, Vincent, I think what's happening out there with many, many teachers and pastors is we're afraid of the grace of God. We do not truly believe that the grace of God is sufficient for all things. We think of it in terms of being sufficient for salvation. And then once we're saved, we got to jump in and do our part. And we have some very detailed directions on what we need to be doing for Jesus. And when we get off down that path of trying to figure out what we're supposed to be doing for Jesus, we spend very little time trying to figure out exactly what he's done for us and what his grace means to us in day-to-day living. If we will come to a point and rest in the fact that God's grace is sufficient for all things, then we can see God's grace doing incredible work in and through each and every one of us, teaching us to say no to sin, teaching us to say yes to Jesus Christ, and expressing itself in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, all of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what grace empowers in each and every one of us.
Great question, Vincent.
Thank you, guys. Man, God bless you guys. I listen to you every day, and I read all your books, and I just want to say, man, you guys have been such an inspirational part of my life. So God bless you guys.
Well, thank you, Vincent, and thanks for those kind words. We sure appreciate it and love that you're tuned in every day. Tell some friends about the program, okay?
Yeah, and hold on. I want our operator to pick you up, and if you have an email address, I want him to get it for you, from you, and we have something we'd like to send you, Vincent.
You hang on. Well, let's go to George in Queens listening to us on WMCA. Hi, George.
Hi, how you doing? First of all, I want to thank you. Listening to your program is like sitting at a table at the last dinner. You're getting all sorts of good spiritual, a good spiritual meal, so to speak. And I had a question. I'm loaded with questions, but this was the one I need explained today. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 6, there seems to be a little bit of a confusion in my mind. This, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. I don't know what confidence, the word confident had any other meaning other than the one we currently understand it to mean, because confident to be away from the Lord sounds to me like an oxymoron, a contradiction. How can you be confident being away from the Lord?
Well, I think it's just a statement of fact. In like the English Standard Version, for example, it reads this: so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that phrase in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight, is what gives us courage and confidence in this world today. Even though we're away from the Lord, we're not in his presence. He is in our presence. We can't see him, but we know he's there. And because we know he's there, and because we know he loves us, then we can be of good courage in this world today.
Well, yeah, it sort of makes sense. But the thing, I think it's an NIV translation, because the word confident to me is entirely inapplicable in this situation, because confidence speaks of both of personal triumph and personal that I'm away from the Lord. It sounds negative, doesn't it?
Well, I think it is an NIV translation. You know, we are always confident. And in verse 5, it says, God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. And because that's true, then we can be confident in this world. We can be of courage in this world, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. I mean, that's true. But we can be confident and courageous even in spite of that. That's all he's saying here.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense, because then later on in 17, the same verse 17, same chapter, it says, therefore, any one that's in Christ is a new creation, that all has passed in the this year. So that sort of makes sense to me. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, George, and thanks for your kind words, and thanks for calling in today. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Michael, who is listening to us in New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Michael.
How are you guys?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you. God bless you guys. And this is my, actually, I call you guys quite often because I love this station. I'm telling you, it brings a lot of, it helps me work out my salvation. But I just wanted to comment on some of the callers that, when you spoke on, you know, you said something about being right and everything, and it brought to my mind righteousness. You said something, I'm just going to paraphrase, but, and I said, you know what? A lot of people call in about salvation. A lot of people call in, they don't understand certain things, and I just want to throw it out there, it could be a long thing, but I'm not trying to take up airtime. But anyway, as far as that concerned, the word righteousness, if people that even brand new Christians or ones that are listening don't understand who God is, you got to realize that this is the thing. The gospel is about Jesus Christ alone. And righteousness, if you take the word right, God has given us a right for salvation. And if you understand what righteousness means, is the state of moral perfection required by God to enter. Okay, so, however, even though we are humans, all right, it says in the book of Romans, this is very, very powerful, therefore no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Okay, rather through the law and become conscious of our sin. If you learn righteousness, because no matter what you're conformed to, the point of salvation is basically being right with God. So that turns into righteousness. And when you declare righteousness through God, whatever you're doing, you have to work out your salvation, because you're working out your mind. Your mind at the battlefield. No matter what you're surrounding yourself by, you'll be conformed to that. If you learn what righteousness is, okay, because we had the Ten Commandments, knowing that we would fall short. Because of that, God sent Jesus down to die for us for that reason, to give us what? Atonement. The crucifixion and the resurrection alone satisfied God's justice through us, through his Son, which is a doctrine of grace. Righteousness is a doctrine of grace. And if you don't have that, then you're going to keep questioning everything. One, you can't lose salvation. It's impossible to lose salvation once you accept Christ as your Savior. If you keep learning about Romans, especially righteousness and who you are through Christ, you'll never question what he's done for you. You'll always focus, and you'll work out your salvation through that. So, I mean, there's a lot more to it, but I just wanted to give encouragement out there about really study the word righteousness and know who you are through God, because you can never be plucked out of God's hands once you genuinely accept Christ.
Well, Michael, good thoughts today, and certainly a good encouragement to the body of Christ to look at a word that is just pregnant with meaning and implication as far as our relationship with God is concerned, as far as our confidence in this world. If we've been declared righteous, that means we are righteous in God's sight, and the righteous requirements of the law, as Paul wrote in Romans 8, have been satisfied in us. That is also, as I've said a couple of times on the broadcast, the fact that we've been declared righteous is ultimate proof that our sins have been taken away once and for all. If there was one sin that had been left unpunished by Jesus at that cross, God could never declare us to be righteous. But the fact that he did is proof that all sins have been taken away once and for all, and that we stand before God as forgiven people. And then, as you mentioned, Michael, we're to work out that salvation. What does that look like in day-to-day life? But we're even empowered on that point, because it is God who is at work in and through us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God's presence inside of us through his Spirit that enables us to work out this salvation in day-to-day life. And that's when it really gets exciting, when you see the love of God flowing out of your life into the life of another. You just step back and say, wow, Lord, thank you for doing your work in and through me. And right. that's what righteousness is all about.
And real quick, before I don't want to take any more of your time, and a lot of things is a lot of people get really hung up on, but if I become saved and I keep sinning, then what happens? Look, you can't lose the righteousness, all right? It's the point of renewing your mind. The more you learn about God, the more, because we have a sinful nature. We were born into this world of sin. Our blood was poisoned because of Adam, sin, and Eve. So God renewed it through this. So if by renewing your mind and understanding that, you're going to most likely, 100% guaranteed by the Bible stating, even my own life, you're going to step away from sin. You're going to be so more aware of it because you're going to realize what love, grace, and mercy from God is. Because it doesn't increase and doesn't decrease. He is these things. And if you have a religion, they don't offer grace. So you keep doing little by little. Don't try to rush God. Let God work on you, and you keep renewing your mind. That's all.
Well said, Michael. Don't rush God.
Thank
let him do his thing. It's always the
Amen.
Best thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you indeed, Michael. Well, let's go to Navarre listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Navarre.
Hello. I'm listening, and my question is, why did Jesus speak to the churches so roughly in the book of Revelation? And I made a question to you guys about confessing to your sins in a verse on John. But why did Jesus tell the church to repent if the church does not have to confess sin? Who was the church that cannot lose the salvation? Why does he say, I will remove your candlestick from its place?
Well, Navarre, that's a good question. And what John was writing about in the book of Revelation in those first three chapters, he was sending a message to church leadership, basically. And he was looking at trends within those seven churches there in Turkey, what we know as modern Turkey today. And he was just giving it straight up to them. He wasn't trying to sugarcoat anything. He just said, this is what's happening. And you as a church group need to take a look at this and change your ways. And so there was a message to each of those seven churches. And when they're stitched together, it becomes a single message to the entire Church of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus, first and foremost. That's what the message to Ephesus was all about. It's not about making this world a moral place. It's not about ridding the world of sin. It's about Jesus and keeping our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. So that's how he kind of gets the ball rolling. And then that message just starts to unfold more and more about what this gospel message is. As a church, as a body of believers, we're called to live out the good news story. And oftentimes we drift away from that good news story and try to do things that we think are important to us when in reality they're not as important as the gospel. Well, Navarre, we're out of time. We sure appreciate your call today.
Yes, indeed. Thanks to everybody for joining us today for Basic Gospel. You know, every weekday we're on the air showing how the basic gospel constantly intersects with your life. But it's you who make it possible for us to be on your station by your prayers and your financial support. To show our appreciation to you for standing with us with a gift of any amount, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book, Operation Screwtape, for you. We're in the final days of this offer, so make the call or go online as soon as you can to make your gift and request your copy. The number is 800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time today. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Operation Screwtape, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to review each day's broadcast, get on the list, our email list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net and you'll receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And if you feel this broadcast is beneficial to you, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And be sure to tell a friend about Basic Gospel. Reminder, too, that all the resources we talk about on Basic Gospel are available from our website at store.basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.